नमोम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर joining today's session. So I have been requested to discuss Bhagavad Gita. So before I actually Shyamali Mataji had mentioned that most of you have already completed Bhakti Shastri and you all have been practicing for at least 10-12 years maybe, or maybe even more some of you. So I was just wondering, I mean, it was whose choice to start with Bhagavad Gita, and I mean, would you really want to hear Bhagavad Gita, or because since most of you would have already completed your Bhakti Shastri, and some of you doing Bhakti Vaibhav also. So I would just like to know what exactly is your expectation, and then I will suggest based on what you share, then we can come to a conclusion as to how we can take this forward. I am little open, so I see some of you have had an experience participating in the discussions that we have. Some of you don't. So I am just curious to know, you know, what exactly is your expectation, and how do you want these sessions to go on? So that, I mean, once I get an idea about that, then we can decide accordingly. I have something in mind, but I'm willing to be a little flexible also. So I just would like to know what you have in mind.
Shall I say something?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, first of all, why Bhagavad Gita? Because Bhagavad Gita is the basics, Prabhuji. And Prabhupada, time and again, he brings us back to the basics, that we are not this body, we are the spirit soul. And similarly, in the course of our spiritual journey, we have been listening to higher and higher Shastras, like Bhagavatam, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then other Shastras, Gaudiya literatures. But then we want, at least some of us felt, we discussed in our Anush Doctors meeting also, that that Bhagavad Gita is something that we would like to come to, because we want to strengthen and solidify our foundations, our basics. And Bhagavad Gita in itself, if properly implemented, is enough for liberation, at least. If it does not take us into the rasa of Bhagavatam and the rasa of Chaitanya Chaitamrita, at least it is enough to liberate. So at least the material miseries will go away. And there will be some Vaikuntha achievement, if not the highest Goloka or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sangha somewhere. So basically, Bhagavad Gita is our need. It is our need. I mean, this is all I'm feeling, saying my feelings only.
You might as well, I see your legal name there. So can you please share your, I mean, you don't have to change there. You can just tell me what your...
Sorry. I'm Shyam Mohan Das, yes, and sir. My wife Suvarna. Both of us are ophthalmologists at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Okay. And we have been attached to Bhaktivedanta Hospital for the last 10 years, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, bro. I think the last time I came to the ophthal department was probably when... what was his name? Wagle. Gauranga Sundar Prabhu was there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So that was the last time. That must have been at least maybe
more than 10 years.
Yeah, more than 10 years back. Yeah.
In October 2011, he shifted to Vrindavan.
Basically. Okay. Okay, bro. So thank you. And you can also share what is your prayer orientation of Bhagavad Gita. You know what exactly, how, what you have, how much you have invested in learning Bhagavad Gita, and what, how good is your grasp already in the subject. So that will help me a little better also.
Prabhu is ready to speak, so you can speak, Prabhu.
No. I love to hear Balram Shetty Prabhu because many of our concepts got very much cleared in many of the classes. And you know, Bhagavad Gita is a very deep subject, and probably we think it is a basic, but I really understand that most of the Bhagavad Gita concepts and philosophies is very deep. So I really wanted to churn the philosophical understanding about all the Shastri, because when I hear Balram Shetty Prabhu's classes on Harinam Chintamani or Mana Shiksha and many classes on the recordings, so I thought it is really helpful for all of us to chant this Bhagavad Gita and being like Shaman Prabhu says, make our foundation very strong. At least my also understanding or need is to hear more and more from Balram Shetty Prabhu to clear many of the concepts are very clearly elaborately understandable language, and very lucid Prabhuji has made it. So I'm very happy to I can hear him for 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever hours he can dedicate for us. And then Shamli Mataji has opened for forum for discussion, because most of the classes, because of my kid classes in the evening time, I was not able to attend his classes. Sometimes I attend, but sometimes 7:30 onwards my classes begin. So now I completed the class, kids class, so now I can attend attentively. I can say classes. So well, thank you, Prabhuji.
What's your prayer orientation of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhu?
We have attended Bhakti Shastri classes. We have attended. We completed, I think, almost 1.5 year classes we attended, but it is almost 4 or 5 years back, I can say. And 1 year, 1.5 year back, almost 2 years back, we attended classes.
Yeah, about 2.5 years back, I finished Bhakti Shastri.
Yeah.
Prabhuji was there. Both of us did together,
Yeah.
in fact.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Anyone else would like to share?
Shamli Mataji.
Should I speak? I can. Yeah, for me, of course, I was hearing Balram Shakti Prabhu's Nectar of Devotion classes, and there were many instances where references to Bhagavad Gita came, and he was basically, whenever the differentiation between karma, jnana, and bhakti, and the focus on bhakti was coming, and whenever Bhagavad Gita references were being made, so I was like, ashamed to ask that what exactly is written in the Bhagavad Gita. It was taken for granted that Bhagavad Gita jnana is this. So I really wanted to hear. So when we had our junior doctors meet, we were talking about you, Balram Shakti Prabhu, and we were talking about your classes. And it was me and Sachidananda Prabhu's wife, Rajrade, who also listens to your Harinam Chintamani and all those classes also. And she also immediately said that, yes, we want to hear Bhagavad Gita from Balram Shakti Prabhu. So that is how, and we said, and everybody almost agreed. So then that is how this idea came about. And we've heard Bhagavad Gita probably, at least in my case, 20 years earlier, when before marriage. And at that time also, we got answers. Definitely, we got answers to our questions, but our questions were different at that time. In the course of 20 years, everything changed. There were responsibilities and how to practice bhakti, and everything got all. Reality strikes came. So now probably it will be, Bhagavad Gita will help. That is my thinking.
Thank you, Mother. Anyone else would like to share?
Mataji can speak.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. Like
Dandavat.
I completed my Bhakti Shastri 15 years back. And as you know, in Bhagavatam, it is said that how the Alpa Buddhi, it is the nature of the world that we will keep on forgetting what we have read and heard. And more so ever, Bhagavad Gita is a, such a basic and such a important aspect of our life. I feel that as much as we hear, it is less. It is ever fresh, and I'm really eagerly hoping to revise my Bhagavad Gita through this course.
Thank you,
so thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Anyone else would like to share?
We actually have Loknath Prabhu joining us after, sorry, Balram Shakti Prabhu, but we are meeting him also after many years. He's joined us from Ayodhya. Prabhu, are you there? Birini?
Hare Krishna.
We haven't.
Hare Krishna.
You're muted.
Balram Shakti Prabhu, Loknath Prabhu was with us earlier. He was also an ophthalmologist with Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So Achha. Now they are in Ayodhya.
Okay.
So, yeah. Loknath Prabhu, aap bol rahe?
He's muted. Is he the one on the video, Mataji?
Yeah, yeah. Alok Kumar. Alok Kumar
okay,
is
okay, 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 okay. Fine. Maybe I think he is settling down. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Vaini?
Hare Krishna. Hare good.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu. Dandat Pranam.
Dandat Prabhu.
Actually, this was not my choice of that which scripture should be discussed.
Uh-huh.
And I just got this thing that one devotee is discussing, so I joined.
So what is your choice, Prabhu?
Actually, of course, Bhagavatam I would have preferred.
Okay.
But Bhagavad Gita also don't have much understanding, particularly if I forget the sequence of the shlokas, which what is the flow of the this thing. Although I have attended many times. But I forget the flow. That is one thing.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. Anyone else would like to share?
Prabhuji, in Bhagavad Gita, na, we know, like Loknath Prabhu said, we know part here, part there. Mm-hmm. But then we don't know the flow of the Bhagavad Gita, the, how it, Krishna flows that whole dialogue between him and Arjun. So that is what we want to understand, the links between different sections of the Bhagavad Gita.
Mm-hmm.
And also there are some specialties like Karma Yoga in some, and then Bhakti Yoga somewhere else. And then some part is Nishkam Karma Yoga, something like that. So we wanted to know those particular highlights, what each section of the Bhagavad Gita is representing and how it is connecting with the other adjoining sections previous to that and later to that. And and Acharya's commentaries also, Gaudiya, previous Acharyas, we are not well versed with that. So we have not heard those commentaries. So maybe you can distill them and share with us.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else would like to share?
Can I share something?
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, thank you, Shyamali Mataji. After listening to Prabhuji's classes in GEV, I had a deep desire of studying scrutinizingly actually and Bhagavad Gita, and I was feeling really very much sad or jay maybe. Brahmachari is attending Bhagavad Gita classes recently, maybe a year back. So I was requesting Prabhuji. So Prabhuji said, make a group and then we will start. But it was not happening. It is by your mercy that I'm joining here. I'm like odd man out, you all are all doctors, but I say that I'm a patient here. So please thank you for allowing me to be in this group of Bhagavad Gita. Thank you so much.
Your mother of a doctor, Mataji.
Okay. Anyone else would like to share? Okay. Okay, if I will share what I have in mind and then you can let me know. I had actually requested Shyamali Mataji, like the last two times we did with Brahmacharis, we did because Brahmacharis had already completed their Bhakti Shastri and most of them were quite well read in Bhagavatam also. So we did Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita along with Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan's commentary. So all three commentaries parallelly we did twice, once in 2018 and once in 2020. So each time it took us close to almost like 300 hours to complete the whole thing. Because it's we did every single line of each of those commentaries and had discussions. So it was quite elaborate. So I mean to do that again, you know, it would be quite elaborate. It would go for years with you know, 1 hour a week pace. So this was during in 2020 we did during lockdown, and it was like almost like we used to get maybe 2 to 3 hours every day we used to do. So that's how we completed it in few months. But now we may not have that kind of time. So I suggested that in your Bhakti Shastri you must have studied Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And most of you. So I was thinking Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's Bhagavad Gita is very short and lucid, and it's the best to actually understand the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. So the complete Gaudiya Vaishnava conclusions you know, in a very lucid way is presented in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Bhakti, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. And it would be, and it's a short commentary also. It's not very long. It's not very elaborate. So, and that would leave us good scope for discussion also. At the same time, we can cover at a brisk pace. So, I was suggesting, should we do that? Because my experience, if I have to take for the Brahmacharis again once more, then I would do it slightly different way. You know, instead of taking all the three commentaries parallelly, I may not do that, because over a period of time, I realized it can be a little bit confusing. Because they structure the whole Bhagavad Gita in a slightly different way. So I was just thinking, maybe we could take Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. With that, we can understand the overall conclusions of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. That's what I had in mind and I was suggesting. And Mataji also sort of felt the same, because you all are doctors, you don't have too much time also. So so considering that, I thought, you know, a shorter commentary and a simpler commentary would be, because Baldev Vidyabhushan's commentary in many sections are quite technical, and we may get lost in the technicalities. Whereas Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur does not get into too much technical details. It's more simpler commentary. But it presents the Gaudiya Vaishnava conclusions very beautifully. So that's what I have in mind. If you have any other suggestions, you can share.
In addition to that, if you can also describe the Trishloki Gita, Chatur Shloki Gita, the Param Shloki, the Charan Shloki Gita, like that. Such
yeah.
A differentiation,
no? Yeah, such we will cover it in order. Generally, Yeah, when we cover it in order, then we will understand the context better rather than, individually taking those verses. So when we try to understand it in flow, as and when they appear, it would make more sense in the context of the whole Gita. So I think rather than taking that way, to go gradually and allow as the theme develops in Bhagavad Gita, we can take it that way. That's what I thought. Anyone else would like to share?
Yes, all right, Prabhuji.
So shall we do it this way? Shall we take Srila Vaishnava Chakrita course commentary and then see how it goes?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So what I'll try to do is I will first start with a presentation that I had prepared many, many years back when we first started the Vidyapeeth. And even prior to the Vidyapeeth, we were discussing Bhagavatam on a regular basis in our Brahmachari Ashram. Since the time we moved to GV, which was in 2010. So 2010, I had completed Bhakti Shastri in 2010. Yeah, maybe 2010 or 9. And the next batch, they were getting ready for writing Bhakti Shastri. So they all were in GV. So some of them wanted to learn. So I helped them because Bhakti Shastri syllabus was fresh in my mind. So I taught them and helped them prepare for the exam. So then they suggested that now that Bhakti Shastri is over, we should do Bhagavatam. So from 2011 onwards, January, we started Srimad Bhagavatam, and we almost completed Bhagavatam. Then we did Chaitanya Charitamrit, and then we have been doing various other books in the last almost like 11 years now. Continuously we have been doing almost every day. But when Vidyapeeth started, I think it was probably in 2014 maybe. By then we were already studying Vishnu Chakra. By then we were already actually discussing Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. But when the new batch of Vidyapeeth came, there were like, for the first time, they were exposed to any other commentary other than Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. So there was a lot of eyebrows raised, is it bona fide to study other acharyas' books, and are we loyal to Srila Prabhupada like that? So I had prepared a presentation to address this concern. So I will share that. It will be useful. And the way we will do is that we will have sufficient time for discussions also. But what we will do is, maybe I will share the presentation every time we meet. Maybe I'll speak for about 35-40 minutes. Then we can have the last 20-25 minutes for discussions. Otherwise, we can, as and when the discussion comes also, we can take, but then there will not be any guarantee of any portions to be covered. So I am okay with it. I don't have any issues. We can discuss one verse for months together. That is no problem. But then generally the tendency is, if not much portions is covered, then people tend to get very bored. So we can try out both. I can speak for 40 minutes, 35, 40 minutes, and then we can open for discussions. Or as and when discussions come, we can have discussions also. That's not a problem. So we will see how it goes. So today I will start with that presentation. I will not be able to complete it today, but whatever we can complete, I'll complete. And then we can continue this discussion next Friday when we meet. So I will go through it, and in between, if there is anything that you want to share, you can please raise your hands, and then we can discuss. If I'm in the middle of completing a particular section, I will request you to wait for some time till I complete that section, and then we can take discussion points. So therefore, you can, if you can raise your hands, I will notice, and then I will then you can speak once I complete that particular section. So reading other acharyas' commentaries, so I have titled it as The Necessity, Mood, Procedure and Pitfalls. So what are the is there a necessity to read other acharyas' commentaries, and what should be the mood, and what is the procedure, and what are the pitfalls that one may have to face if one is trying to refer to other acharyas' commentaries. Okay, so now let's keep it interactive. Srila Prabhupada titled this Bhagavad Gita as Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now I want to know from you, why? What do you think? Yes, Mataji.
Because there are many editions of the Bhagavad Gita, almost 72 editions of the Bhagavad Gita in the market. Each had given their own commentaries on, and their own understanding of what the Bhagavad Gita is meant for and how to interpret the Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. So, Prabhupada title is Bhagavad Gita as it is. That means
as it is what, means?
What, as Krishna wanted it to be.
Okay.
That is our understanding.
Okay. As Krishna wanted it to be. Okay. Anyone else would like to share something?
As it is, maybe in the parampara, as it is told by our acharyas.
Okay. Okay.
Prabhuji, mainly because I think the explanation of the last verse where Krishna demands surrender, then most of the interpretations say that it is not Krishna whom you are supposed to surrender. It is something within him.
Okay. Okay.
As it is means he has not added his interpretation based on mental concussion. He has been considered whatever the verses, the meaning of that particular verses. He has just explained it in nice way. Like how Mahaprabhu was discussing with Sarvam Bhattacharya with another version of his own interpretations. When Mahaprabhu told, the meaning is very crystal clear. You are adding your own interpretation. So Prabhupada has keep his name is as it is, that he has just explained that particular verses in this, whatever the meaning of that verse.
So explained it, explained it means interpreted only, na?
Yeah, but he has not added his,
he has not added means, I mean, not such long purports that he has given, the verse itself is only two lines. How come he has explained it in 2 pages, 3 pages purports? It's not his own explanation. I mean, whose explanation is it?
He has explained, I think explanation is, but to explain that particular original meaning of that particular verse. He has not changed that.
I mean, original meaning means according to whom?
According to the discussion happened between Krishna and Arjuna.
Okay. 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 So that is what, yes, someone else want to share?
I feel that it is from the bhakti point of view, although because it was being discussed between Krishna and Arjuna, he was as Prabhupada says that when a lord and devotee is discussing it, he must be discussing bhakti. So the conclusion of all the chapters is bhakti, but then it can be called as from the point of view of bhakti.
Okay. Okay. So let's try to understand this, because this is very critical to our approach to reading other Acharya's commentaries or even Prabhupada's commentary for that matter, this understanding is very critical. So we will try to understand this. Okay. So we will take a few examples and you have to tell me which one is an as it is commentary and which is not. Okay. So I am taking the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 12th verse, where Krishna talks about various, if you can't do this, you do this. If you can't do this, you do this, like that. So this is a famous verse. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasat jnanat dhyanam vishishyate dhyanat karmafala tyagas tyagat shantir anantaram. This is the verse. I'm not going to elaborate on the meaning of this verse because that is out of scope of this discussion, but I will just read the translation. Just hear it carefully. So Prabhupada says, if you cannot take up to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. Okay. So this is Srila Prabhupada's explanation. I'm not going into the purports because purport would be in line with the translation. So that is assumed. So therefore, I'm just taking translation because otherwise it would become too exhaustive. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur explains, mananam is better than practice, but meditation is better than mananam. From meditation, one easily becomes detached from the results of work in the form of bhukti and mukti. From this detachment, one finally attains lasting peace, which is absorbing one's senses completely in Krishna. This is definitely a different explanation than Prabhupada's explanation of this verse. Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan, BVB, refers to Baldev Vidya Bhushan. He says, realization of Atma. So till now, neither Prabhupada nor Vishwanatha Chakradhakur has been talking about anything about realization of Atma. Baldev Vidya Bhushan says, realization of Atma is preferable to practicing remembrance of the Lord, but practice of meditation on Atma is preferable to realization of Atma. Preferable to practice of meditation is renunciation of the results of work. From this detachment, one finally gets purity. He translates shanti not as peace, but as purity. Well, if you see the three, you don't have to understand because, you know, I have not described the context of these descriptions. But the point is, the translation, the way the verse is very basically explained is different in all three acharyas. Now, my question to you is, which one of these three is as it is?
Prabhupada's commentary is the simplest to understand. More relatable. Okay,
so that is as it is?
Yeah, looks to me.
So which means the other two are not as it is?
The context will have to be understood. What background they have put prior to this. And then against that context, then one can fit this verse there.
Okay. Is Shyamalal Prabhu, you wanted to share something?
All three are as it is.
How?
All three are as it is. According to their time, place and circumstance. And as per each person's realization, they have added on whatever needed to be changed. Or needed to be given to that said population.
But if you say that as it is means what Krishna intended when he spoke to Arjuna. Now my question to you is, of the three, which of these did Krishna intend when he spoke to Arjuna?
All three.
Okay. We will take some more examples. This is just some food for thought. You don't have to give concrete answers. I'm just because you may not have done this exercise. Of, you know, how different acharyas explain things. So which one of them is an as it is translation? Next, this is Prabhuji asked about the Trishloki Gita, so I have added some verses from the Trishloki Gita, incidentally. So this is Dvavimau Purushau Loke Sharas Chakshara Evacha Sharas Sarvani Bhutani Kutastokshara Uchyate. So Srila Prabhupada writes, there are two classes of beings, Kshara Cha Akshara Evacha, the fallible and infallible. So both are jivas according to Srila Prabhupada. In the material world, every living entity is fallible in the material world. Sharas Sarvani Bhutani. But in the spiritual world, every living entity is infallible. Kutastho Akshara Uchyate. This is Prabhupada's explanation. Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says, there are two conscious beings in this universe, the collective jivas and the Brahman. Okay. So the collective jivas is Kshara and Brahman is Akshara. This is Vishnu Jagadakur's explanation. Baldev Debhushan is very similar to Prabhupada. I won't go over it. Again, if you see here, when Krishna says Shara and Akshara, Prabhupada and Baldev Debhushan say that Shara is the conditioned soul and Akshara is the liberated soul. But Vishnu Chakradaku says all the souls are Shara and Brahman is Akshara. So when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, what did he mean? You know, or which one of these is as it is? So if Prabhupada says mine is as it is, then Vishnu Chakradakur explains this differently. Is Vishnu Chakradakur not as it is? Right? Again, you don't have to answer, just food for thought. And another one verse later, this is also the third of the Trishloki Gita. Yasmat sharam atitoham aksharada pichottama atosmi loke vedecha pratitaha purushottama. So this is Krishna says that because I am superior to the jivas and I am superior to the Brahman and I am also superior to the Paramatma, therefore the Vedas glorify me as Bhagavan, as Purushottama, like that. Okay. And Srila Prabhupada and Baldev Debhushan says, because I am superior to the conditioned and the liberated jivas, the Vedas celebrate me as Purushottama. In line, of course, they had Shara and Akshara was described by both of them as conditioned and liberated jivas, and the same way they are explaining here. So the point is, the way they explain individual verses is different. So which one of them is as it is? Let's take Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad, this is the invocation. Actually, this is not the invocation of Ishopanishad. This is the invocation that Prabhupada has chosen for his commentary of Ishopanishad. So this verse is from some other Upanishad, Prabhupada has chosen it as the invocation for his commentary of Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad itself does not have, this is not like a Mangalacharan verse for Ishopanishad actually. So this is Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Right, you all know this verse. So, Prabhupada's explanation. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, and because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as the phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Purnamadaha Purnamidam. Right? The Lord is complete, the emanations from it, the material universes, they are also complete. Purnat Purnamudachyate. And from the complete whole, the Supreme Lord, complete universes come out. Purnasya Purnamadaya. When complete universes when they come out of the Supreme Lord, still the Supreme Lord remains complete. Purnameva Avashishyate. So, the Lord is still complete even though complete universes come out of it. Come out of him. This is Prabhupada's explanation. Baldev Debhushan, not in Ishopanishad, but he quotes this verse in one of his Vedanta Sutra commentaries. In his Vedanta Sutra commentary, he explains this verse, and this is how he explains. The unmanifest Brahman is perfect. The manifest Brahman is perfect. From the unmanifest Brahman appears manifest Brahman as various avataras. When the manifest forms emerge from the unmanifest Brahman remains. There is no mention of universes coming out. He is talking about avataras here, right? So this is another another example. Which one of them is as it is? You know, as whoever spoke this verse in that particular Upanishad, when he spoke to his audience, what did he have in mind? Right? Like that. And also, if you take Vedanta Sutra, you all might have heard this verse, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, the first verse of Vedanta Sutra. There are many meanings that bona fide acharyas give for this verse. Ata, ata, now, therefore, right? So one explanation, one acharya says, now, therefore means now that you have got human birth, start inquiring about Brahman, like that. Another acharya says, now that you have completed performing all the prescribed duties, now you start inquiring into Brahman. This is another explanation. The third explanation that is given is, now that your study of Karmakanda is over, now I think you should start inquiring into the absolute truth. So this is the third explanation. Now, which one of them is as it is? When Vyasadev wrote, what did he have in mind? Like that. Now, this is, you can say, different acharyas, right? One is Baldev Vidyabhushan, one is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, one is Srila Prabhupada. Now, if you see Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, he himself gives five different explanations of the first verse of Bhagavatam. Janmadyasya yatonvayad itaratas charteshu abhigyasvarat tene brahma hridaya adikavaye muhyanti yat suraya tejo vare mridam yata vinimayo yatra trisargo mrisha dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. You all might know famous verse, first verse of Bhagavatam. I will not go into the details, but this is one acharya giving five explanations. Okay, I will quickly go through it. I don't want to go into the details of it. Okay, first explanation is establishing Bhagavan as the vastu of this book. Vastu means, this is the vastu nirdesh shloka. What is the subject matter of the book? So, so here he says, let us meditate upon the absolute truth, Krishna, who is the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of this universe as the material and deficient cause, since he is the only knower of all objects and the only independent being. Who revealed the Vedas to Brahma within his mind, who is difficult to understand even for the learned, and whose body is thought to be made of matter due to illusion. Only due to illusion people think that his body is made of matter, just as one mistakes fire, water and earth for each other. Like in a desert, you see a mirage, right? Even though it is not water, but a combination of fire in the form of sun and air and earth at particular temperatures, from a distance, it looks like water, right? And who negates all false arguments regarding his existence by possessing a transcendental inconceivable form and by the strength of devotees experiencing him through his Swarup Shakti. See, I'm not going to go into the details of explaining this verse because that's not the purpose. But the first explanation given by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that how Bhagavan is the vastu of this book. General, the personal form of the Lord is the subject matter of this book. Then in the next explanation he gives, he takes the same verse to explain how this verse talks about Krishna as the vastu of the book. How does he say? He says, let us meditate on Krishna, who is known as Satya. So he quotes this from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam by the prayers of the person, Garbhastuti prayers by the demigods. So where the Lord is addressed as Satyam, 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 Satyam. Satyasya Satyam Nihita Ritasat satya netram satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapanna, like that they say. So the Lord Krishna is also called as Satya, who through his abode Mathura and by revelation of his form to his devotees, Dham here, because if Satya is Krishna, then his Dham is Mathura. Mathura means Mathura Mandal. It includes Vrindavan also, right? And Dham also means the body of the Lord, body of Krishna. He destroys ignorance concerning himself. So when one becomes qualified to see his Dham and the form of Krishna, then one is no longer under illusion about what is, whether he is real or material or is he an ordinary human being and all that. Whose body, even though appearing to be material to the demons, is not temporary at all, right? Who, after appearing in Vasudev's house, went to Nanda's house? The first verse of Bhagavatam says this, actually, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Asya janmadi yataha itaratahascha anu ayat. So after he took birth in Vasudev's house in Mathura's prison, he went to Nandamara's house. This is the first verse says, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Right? Knowing how to cheat Kamsa, and who, knowing the appearance of his devotees Prema and Vraja, remained there because of his own people, even though he is in all cases independent. So this is, even though the word Vasudev or Nanda or Kamsa, nothing is mentioned in the verse, but from a contextual point of view, explains this way, right? And so on. I won't go into the details. And he says, and who revealed that the cows and the calves were actually the supreme Brahman to Brahma by his will. This is how he explains, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. While the regular explanation is that he revealed the Vedas within the heart of Brahma. Whereas here he says, he revealed that the cows and calves were actually the supreme Brahman to Brahma. He quotes Brahma Vimohan Leela. And Muyanti Yatsuraya, he says, which bewilders even persons such as Narada Muni, like that. Anyway, so the point is, he says that this verse, the second explanation, Vishnu Jagadakur says that this actually establishes Krishna as the Vastu of the book. Third explanation, he says, the first verse explains that Madhura Rasa is the Vastu of the book. So how? So he says, let us meditate on Krishna, from whom arises Adyasya, Janmadyasya Yataha. So Adyasya refers to the Adi Rasa, as Prabhupada also writes in the first verse of purport Prabhupada writes. So Adi Rasa is Madhura Rasa, through meeting and separation. Anvayad Itarata. Anvayad means through meeting, Itarata means to separation. Right? And who, as the hero most skillful in everything related to rasa, is beyond material realm. And who conveyed to Bharat Muni. So Adi Kavi is taken as Bharat Muni. So Bharat Muni is the, he is the originator of Bharatanatyam. The first book on Rasa Shastra was written by Bharat Muni actually. And based on that, but that is material Rasa Shastra, material emotions, how it can be depicted through Abhinaya and all that, through dance, Abhinayas and Mudras. And in fact, Rupa Goswami took this Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra as the template to actually present the Rasa section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu actually. So he presented spiritual Rasa, but he took the template from the Natya Shastra presented by Bharat Muni, right? And so on. I won't go into the details, but just that this talks about Madhura Rasa, the third explanation. Fourth explanation, Bhakti Vishnu Chakatakur says, this verse actually establishes Radha and Krishna as the Vastu of the book. Even though in Bhagavatam, there is not a single verse in which the name of Radharani comes, but still, Vishnu Chakatakur says that in the very first verse, that the subject matter of Bhagavatam is Radha and Krishna, right? And whatever way he establishes it, I won't go into the details. And the fifth explanation that he gives is that he establishes bhakti as the vastu of the book. The real subject matter of the book is bhakti. Okay. And then he explains it. I won't again go into the details. So now, which one of them is an as-it-is translation? When Vyasadeva compiled it, what did he have in mind? Right? So, and then of course he explains, I won't go into these details, I will just skip it, because this will make it a little more technical. We don't have that much time also. So therefore, what exactly is an as-it-is commentary? And which one of these is an as-it-is commentary? And what exactly is as-it-is in an as-it-is commentary? Right? This is very important. What exactly is as-it-is in an as-it-is commentary? When one Acharya himself is giving five different explanations, then if you say that as-it-is means what Krishna intended when he spoke to Arjuna, or whatever the speaker intended when he spoke to the hearer, then, you know, like, what did they intend? Is that the meaning of as it is or what? This question arises, right? Now, let's see what exactly is as it is in an as it is commentary. So, or which one of these is an as it is commentary? Actually, as Shyamalal Prabhu said, all of them. So we have to see every Acharya has an apurvata or a specific style of writing. Okay. And they give specific emphasis based on the existing socio-political and spiritual scenario at that time. I'll give examples for this. So for example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was writing, the Rajaram Mohan Roy was his contemporary. So the Brahma Samaj and Arya Samaj, the neo, you can say whatever Hindu movements were very strong in Bengal at that time, and they were very, very popular. So you will see his commentaries will very frequently keep addressing to those kind of concerns that were existing during that time. And also consider talking about the style of writing. And Baldev Vidya Bhushan, if you see, as you all know, he was challenged by the Ramanandis to present bona fide commentaries. So he had to write a commentary which would be acceptable. He can't write a Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary. Like in some of the verses of Bhagavad Gita, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur brings out, this verse talks about Radharani, he says. But you can't present such a thing when to a group of people who actually challenge the worship of Radha and Krishna together. They say they are calling it non-bona fide. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary is an out and out Gaudiya Vaishnava presentation. Right? So, and not only that, every Acharya has a specific spurti or revelation given by Krishna. Right? We will touch this topic little later, but I will talk about it. Actually, every verse or every Shastra is like a Vaidurya stone, the Acharyas explain. If you look at a Vaidurya stone, from one angle, it looks blue in color. From another angle, it looks yellow in color. From the third angle, it looks green in color. So if you ask three different people, what color is the Vaidurya? Someone will say blue, someone will say red, someone will say yellow. They all are right. Similarly, the personality of the Supreme Lord and his pastimes and the Shastras which talk about these subject matters, they are also compared to Vaidurya. So from different angles, it reveals a different aspect of that particular pastime. And for qualified Acharyas who are qualified to receive these revelations, first thing we have to understand is none of the Acharyas are presenting their opinions. Commentaries are not opinions. Commentaries are revelations. Ordinary people cannot write commentaries. Ordinary people can try to understand commentaries. Right? Even that needs a big dose of mercy. Ordinary people cannot think of writing commentaries, because writing commentaries is not a question of understanding the language and presence of fertile intelligence. Writing commentaries means it has to be revealed by Krishna. So these personalities, they have Leela Spurti. They have access to the Leela. Many times if you see Prabhupada's commentary or Srila Vishnachakra Thakur's commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam, the verse says something and they will say, oh, here Kunti Maharani is speaking like this because this is how she is thinking. So how do they know? Is it guesswork that they are doing? So they are not guessing. Actually, the Supreme Lord reveals to them. So these personalities are not ordinary personalities. These acharyas have access to the pastime as it is happening or as it was happening. Not only that, they have access to the hearts of the participants in that pastime. What they spoke is revealed by the literature. What they were thinking while they spoke that is revealed to the acharyas. Such people are qualified to write commentaries. We cannot write the next commentary unless, we reach that kind of qualification actually. So therefore, our understanding that truth is, it has only one facet. It is not right. Spiritual subject matters are multifaceted, and devotees have qualification to access that. So we'll touch this little more. So for example, I will give some examples now. Baldev Vidyabhushan, let us take first the Bhagavad Gita commentators. Baldev Vidyabhushan, if you see the way he has structured the book, he talks about three kinds of devotional service practitioners. He says, Sanishta Bhaktas, Parinishtita Bhaktas and Nirapeksha Bhaktas. You don't have to understand any of these things. I'm just giving you just some information, that's all. So he says that the whole Bhagavad Gita is describing each one of the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita is meant for one of these three types of devotees, he says. And he explains the whole Bhagavad Gita. He has structured the whole Bhagavad Gita to explain this way. And if you see, because this Bhagavad Gita was written as a response to challenge by the Ramanandis. If you see, his Bhagavad Gita is very rigorous in Mayavad Khandan. Whereas Vishwanatha Thakur does not bother to refute Mayavad too much in his commentaries, because he gives a rasic commentary which is very much relishable for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But Baldev Vidyabhushan had to respond to the challenge of the Ramanandis. So he had to give a commentary which is very, very much on par with their understanding of what constitutes a good commentary. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's something else. But for the other Vaishnava Sampradayas, it needs to have particular elements. There should be many verses where there is a very thorough, rigorous refutation of Mayavad. Because most of the Vaishnava commentaries, they wrote their own commentaries as a refutation of Mayavad. Right? So therefore, a commentary which could compare with Ramanujacharya's commentary in its Mayavad refutation, the commentary had to be like that. So if you see, that was quite technically rigorous commentary by Baldev Vidyabhushan. Therefore, if you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote many commentaries to Bhagavad Gita. He wrote a commentary to Vishwanatha Thakur's commentary to Bhagavad Gita. He called it Rasika Ranjan commentary. That which gives lot of pleasure to the Rasikas. Then he wrote a commentary to Baldev Vidyabhushan's commentary to Bhagavad Gita. He titled it as Vidvat Ranjan commentary. That which is very pleasing to the Vidwans, the scholars, like that. So now if you see Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, it's a very rasic commentary. Very pleasing for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And sometimes he introduces concepts of Radha and Krishna, even in Bhagavad Gita commentaries. and he describes bhakti in a slightly different way. He introduces terminologies like pradhani bhuta bhakti, guni bhuta bhakti, like that. And he doesn't give elaborate and technical refutations of Mayavad. Right? Srila Prabhupada, if you see, he gives absolute emphasis on his purports. Three things, if you see. Absolute emphasis on his purports, absolute emphasis on devotional service, and maximum mileage in his book. These are the three factors, if you see. I will explain what these three things are. So first, if you take absolute emphasis on his purports, because the current audience which Prabhupada had, especially the Western audience, Prabhupada understood that they would not have time to go over the whole Bhagavad Gita. So every purport has to be standalone giving the philosophy, actually. So Prabhupada invested a lot of time in presenting the conclusions. So Prabhupada did not bother to, in one sense, focus too much on the flow, how the Bhagavad Gita flows. He says, no, let it flow anyway, but the conclusion should be very clear. So that was Prabhupada's focus. So Prabhupada focused on that. And Prabhupada understood that, as Mataji mentioned, that prayana alpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yugejana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hyupadruta. As Kali Yuga is progressing quite fast, people's ability to understand and everything is very compromised. So therefore, he would pump in all the essential conclusions in every purport like that. And absolute emphasis on devotional service, because that is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. If you see every acharya, they come to the same conclusion, but they may not emphasize it in individual verses. But Prabhupada knows this, that his audience may not necessarily go through from first verse of first chapter to the last verse of 18th chapter. They may not have that kind of patience and time. So he understood that I cannot invest in presenting a technically free-flowing Bhagavad Gita. I need to present the conclusions. So therefore, if you see, in Ashtanga Yoga, he will write about Bhakti Yoga. In Jnana Yoga, he will write about Bhakti Yoga. In Karma Yoga, he will write about Bhakti Yoga. Because that is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Even though the acharyas may not explain them in the individual verses like that. So, and also, Pradyumna Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor first, and the longest Sanskrit editor, and Prabhupada liked him very much. And he shared how Prabhupada used to translate or present his purports and translations. So for Bhagavatam, he said that Prabhupada would take the translation from Jiva Goswami, word to word from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and add some elements from Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami in his own purports and add his own points. But many times, Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explain individual verses in a very different way. So therefore, if you see, I don't know if you have done this exercise, many times if you try to map Prabhupada's word to word, especially in Bhagavatam with his translation, they won't map that well. I mean, in quite a few occasions, I don't know if you have not done it, you can try it sometimes. The word to word will say something else, the translation will say something else, right? So therefore, because Prabhupada wanted to give maximum mileage, what Jiva Goswami said, let the translation say. What Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, let the word to word say. And Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and many points he will add in his own purports, he will add his own points. So that way, everything is there. All the principal Gaudiya Vaishnava commentaries are there in his books like that. So therefore, if you can give me another 5-10 minutes, because it's the first session, I will just take little extra time. Next time onwards, I'll start on time and on time. So, because I don't want to leave it half. So therefore, what exactly is as it is in an as it is commentary? It is certainly not the word to word meaning we saw. It is certainly not the way a verse is translated. It is certainly not the way a particular purport is written. Then what is as it is if all of these can be different? In a book, if you take Prabhupada's purport, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, there is verse, there is word to word, there is translation, there is purport. Verse is same. Okay. Even in Mayavadi books, the verse is same. So other than that, if purport can be different, if translation can be different, if word to word can be different, then what is as it is in an as it is commentary? If everyone agrees that Prabhupada's is as it is, Baldev Deva Bhushan's is as it is, Vishwanatha Chakravarti's is as it is, Ramanujacharya's is as it is, if all these are as it is, but everything is different in their commentaries, then what exactly is as it is in an as it is commentary if everything is different, right? So, there are 10 essential conclusions in the overall philosophy. This is called as Dashamula Tattva Baishila Bhaktivinod Thakur. I will just briefly go over it. So, in the conclusion of the literature, whether it is Baldev Vidya Bhushan or Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur or Prabhupada or Ramanujacharya or Madhvacharya, all their commentaries in conclusion will have the same conclusions. If you read their whole work, there will be concurrence of these conclusions, right? I will quickly go through. First is the first of the Dashamula Tattva is that they all will agree that the Vedas are the ultimate pramana. Okay, so it is the most reliable pramana is the Shabda Pramana, not Pratyaksha, not Anuman. They will agree. Second. And what do the Vedas teach? 9 essential truths. First, that Param Tattva is Shri Hari. He is the supreme absolute truth. All the Acharyas will agree with it. He is Sarva Shaktiman. He is omnipotent. All Acharyas will agree with it. Not only that, he is not just Sarva Shaktiman, but he is also Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is the ocean of all nectarian mellows. He is personified. His personification of all devotional mellows. All Acharyas will agree. And then that the Jiva, the Tatastha Shakti are the Jivatmas, and there are 2 types, Nitya Baddha and Nitya Mukta, the liberated and conditioned souls. This also all Acharyas will agree. And then the Baddha Jiva is the conditioned Jiva who is infected by Maya, he is chasing the material world. And the Mukta Jiva is the liberated Jiva who is free from Maya. So the terminologies that they may use may be different, but in essence they agree. We call them Nitya Muktas or Nitya Parshadas. In Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they will call them as Nitya Suris. Terminology may be different, but the understanding is same. Right? And Achinta Beda Bed Tattva. All Acharyas will agree that they may not call it Achinta Beda Bed, but they will understand that there are some similarities and some differences between the energy and the energetic, and which is not completely conceivable to the living entities. And the 8th is all Vaishnavacharyas will accept that Shuddha Bhakti is the ultimate sadhana, and Krishna Prem, they may not say Krishna Prem, they may say Narayana, love towards Narayana, whatever, in whatever form, love towards Vishnu Tattva is the ultimate goal. So if you see the overall work, even though individual verses may be described in different ways, but in toto, when you read the whole work, there will be concurrence of all these 10 truths, 10 essential truths, Dashamula Tattva. So this is with all Vaishnava Sampradayas. So what is an as it is Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary? It should have some additional elements. What is that additional element? Aradhyo Bhagavan Rajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachi Dupasana Vrajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradaro Nappara. So you all know this verse. Anyone knows who compiled this verse? Who wrote this verse?
Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya?
No.
No?
No.
Give me one more chance. And then.
It's difficult to guess.
Goswami? Not Rupa Goswami?
It's not that easy. It is
someone who wrote Chaitanya Chandra Nataka.
You have come quite close. His guru. Chaitanya Chandraday Natak was written by Kavi Karnapur. His guru was Srinath Chakravarti. So this verse was written by Srinath Chakravarti. And he says, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanais. The most worshipable Lord for us is not Vishnu, Lord, not Narayana. It is Krishna. Which Krishna? Vrajesha. Not even Vrajesha Krishna. Vrajesha Tanaya. We don't want to give him even that much of, position. Let Vrajesha be Nanda Maharaj. He is Vrajesha Tanaya. Tad Dama, not Vaikuntha. Vrindavanam. And who are the best worshippers? Ramya Kachid Upasana. The most Upasana Vrajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita. The worship of the gopis is the most pleasing form of worship. According to us, the other sampradayas will not agree. In fact, Madhvacharya says, oh, the gopis are just some celestial damsels, that's all. So because for them, that's not the mood that they relish. Right? Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. This also, there may not be concurrence with other across sampradayas. Right? The Madhvites will say it's Mahabharat, or not even Mahabharat, the Madhvites will say Mahabharat as presented by Madhvacharya through his Mahabharat Tatparya Nirnaya or whatever. Or they may have some other works. And the Sri Vaishnavites will say the works of the Alvars, or they might say Vishnu Puran, right? But we will say Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Prema Pumarto Mahan. And the ultimate goal of life for all men is Prema. This of course is accepted, but Prema for Vraja Krishna may not be accepted by the other sampradayas. So this is additionally, when you consider Baldev Vidya Bhushan, Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, who are all Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, these additional elements will be there in their commentary. Right? So now, I will end in 5 minutes. Is it okay to refer to other Acharyas' commentaries? Because don't they say that aren't Prabhupada's books the Pramana for the next 10,000 years? What is the need to study other Acharyas' commentaries? Let's see what Prabhupada himself say about this. In his purports, in verse number 1.1.1, the very first purport of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, within the past 500 years, many erudite scholars and acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Vallabhacharya, and many other distinguished scholars, even after the time of Lord Chaitanya, made elaborate commentaries on the Bhagavatam, and the serious student would do well to attempt to go through them to better relish the transcendental messages. This is Prabhupada in the very first purport of, and we all want to be serious students, right? So, yeah. So Prabhupada does not deny. And of course, we have first read Prabhupada's purport at least once. Most of us maybe few times, right? It is then in the third canto, fourth chapter purport, Prabhupada says, it is necessary therefore for the serious students of Srimad Bhagavatam to follow the notes and comments of the great acharyas like Jiva Goswami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti. To others who are non-devotees of the Lord, the comments and explanations of such acharyas may appear to be grammatical jugglery. But to the students who are in the line of disciplic succession, the explanations of the great acharyas are quite fit. Right? So, the point is, yes, it is perfectly true that Srila Prabhupada's books are the books for the next 10,000 years. But as disciples and grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we should also know how we can establish that Prabhupada's books are the books for the next 10,000 years. We can't just say, right? Otherwise, if we cannot establish that, we will just sound like fanatics. We will just be telling others that these are the books for the next 10,000 years, but we won't be able to defend why they are the books, right? What is a better service actually? So, what should be the mood of referring to other Acharya's commentaries? We should try to understand the apurvata or the unique contribution of that particular Acharya. And the socio-political conditions under which the commentary was written, to some extent we should understand that. Then we can save ourselves from unrealistic expectations from any of the acharyas. Like say, for example, we want searching Srila Vishwanatha Thakur's Gita commentary for a very sophisticated refutation of Mayavad, because he has not focused on that. For that, you have to go to Baldev Vidya Bhushan's explanation. Just because one commentary is more equipped to handle one aspect, it does not mean that the other commentary is inferior, right? So we should understand this. So each author is bringing a very unique contribution to that particular subject matter. Some people ask, this Prabhupada translation also seems right, or this Acharya's commentary also seems right. So matlab, seems right means what? It is actually right. So we have to have that conviction. If you don't have that conviction, then you are not ready to read. So if we cannot figure out how a particular explanation is right, then it is our problem. So we should be very clear with this. Never compare commentaries, rather appreciate and get benefited by the apurvata the acharya is bringing in. Right? Never compare. It's not meant to be compared, because the truth is multifaceted. But we tend to think that it is very monolithic. It's not like that. So then what are the pitfalls and methodologies in referring to the acharya's commentaries? This is the last part. So avoid referring to individual verses. Never do it. Why? Because you may miss out on the terminologies. Okay. And you may miss out on his premises. Like many times I have seen people read Baldev Vidya Bhushan's commentary and say that, Prabhu, I have really tried to understand, but I don't understand anything. The main problem was they didn't read the introduction, where Baldev Vidya Bhushan has very elaborately explained how he has explained Gita, which is the real missing link of this whole jigsaw puzzle. Otherwise, it looks like a big jigsaw puzzle with many pieces not fitting in. The missing pieces are all there in the introduction. So, Srila Baldev Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Krishna Samhita, he says, if you want to read any book and understand, don't read multiple books parallelly. He says, read one book from cover to cover. Why? Because if you don't do that, if you directly start taking one verse and try to understand how the acharya has explained, you may miss out on his styles and you won't have proper appreciation of his apurvata, what is the unique thing that he's bringing in. They don't bother to redefine terminologies. The very first time they use terminologies, they will define. And they will not bother to redefine terminologies. If there are some concepts that they want to explain, they will explain it the very first time the concept comes. So if you directly take 18th, let me see what Vishwanatha Thakur says in the Sarvadharman Parityajya verse. He will use many terminologies. You will not understand anything, right? So if you have time and enthusiasm, try to refer it parallelly, but in a systematic way and from the beginning, because acharyas don't bother to redefine terminologies and re-explain concepts again and again. So this is not the way of studying, and we will not get the proper understanding. We may rather get improper understanding actually. So now, what is the qualification for commenting on the scriptures, bhakti scriptures? So if Vishwanatha Thakur has written 5 explanations of the first verse of Bhagavatam, so let me write the 6th explanation of the first verse. Can I? So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is the chapter in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives 61 explanations of the Atmarama verse. So if you think that Vishwanatha Thakur gives 5 explanations, 61 explanations of the Atmarama verse, the whole chapter is dedicated to that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own words we are going to read now. What is the qualification of a person who is fit to comment on the bhakti literatures? Can we write the next commentary? So this is a litmus test for us. Okay. So he says, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashraya Pratishloke Prati Akshare Nana Arthakaya Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna, the Supreme Lord and shelter of everything. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and in each and every syllable, there are various meanings. That does not mean we are qualified to access those meanings. Right? We may not be qualified to access even one meaning of that. That needs qualification. Just because it has multiple meanings does not mean we are ready. Eimata kahilu eka shlokera vyakhyana vatulera pralapakari ke kare pramana. In this way, like a madman, I have explained the meaning of just one verse. I do not know who will take this as evidence. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami, I don't know who will take this as evidence. Like a madman, I have spoken. Amahe na yeba keha vatula haya. If one becomes a madman like me, he may also understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam by this process. So he says, if you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam and comment on Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to become a madman, he says. Right? And Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport to this. He says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu plainly explains that Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be understood by those who are materially situated. In other words, one has to become a madman like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Apart from being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an acharya who exhibited love of God like a madman. According to his own written verse, he says, Yugayitam Nimeshena. That is the feeling he was having. Yugayitam Nimeshena. So one moment staying away from you is like a yuga. So if we are feeling like that, then we are fit to access the revelation. First thing, that's the thing. These are not interpretations. They are not giving their interpretations or opinions. These are revelations. So if you are qualified to receive the revelations, you can write commentaries. Right? He says that for him, a moment seems to last 12 years. Chakshusha pravrishayitam. My tears are flowing like torrents of rain. Shunyayitam jagat sarvam. I feel as if the entire universe were vacant. Well, if we are feeling like that, then we are qualified. Why? Govinda virahename. Due to my being separated from Govinda or Krishna. One can understand Srimad Bhagavatam only by following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was mad for Krishna. We cannot, of course, imitate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not possible. However, unless one is very serious about understanding Krishna, he cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam like that. So, the point is, this is one thing. I will just end with this one anecdote. I was giving this Vidyapeet classes in Pune, and one devotee, I was making this point that we cannot screw out any additional lessons from these literatures. This is not appropriate. You know, the acharyas have to reveal what is the lesson, and we can build upon it by giving various examples from our lives, but we cannot screw out lessons. You know, something is there, and the 24 and a half lessons that we can learn from this particular pastime like that, you know, we cannot give our own lessons in one sense. So one devotee said, but Prabhuji, even you are telling like this, but if we have to stick to the Acharya's explanations only, Acharya's lessons only, different Acharyas give different lessons for the same pastime. So then I asked that devotee, so you want to be the next Acharya, you want to give the next lesson. So then he understood. So basically, and he said that, but different Acharyas interpret these pastimes in different ways. I said, they don't interpret. First thing, this is the conviction that we should have. These are not interpretations. These are revelations. So commentaries are not interpretations. Commentaries are very exalted, actually. They are directly revealed that's why Prabhupada said, I did not write Krishna book. Krishna wrote. And someone said, oh, this he was telling to a reporter. And one of his disciples said, he means to say that Krishna inspired him and he wrote. And Prabhupada said, I did not say that. I said Krishna wrote. And the disciple himself was, you know, bewildered. So the point is, we should have that kind of a regard and you can say like a sort of reverence when we approach their writings, right? So we cannot, unless we have this kind of reverence, then we should not approach these books. These are not ordinary books. These are like personal revelations. So therefore, as it is means the overall philosophy is as it is. Individual verses can be explained in different ways because the truth is multifaceted. So different revelations of particular verses can be given to particular acharyas like that. Sorry, I have taken extra time, but next time, I think at least those who are attending my other sessions, you know that I start on time and on time. So from next week, I'll start at 8 and end sharp at 9. So thank you all very much. You have been patient, and we will continue this discussion next Friday. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for me.
And we will take some comments and discussion points on this presentation next week. So you can write down if you have some questions or comments that you might want to share. So we can take it next week, and next Friday we can discuss this. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah.
Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you
very much.
Thank you.